May I speak in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Do please be seated. Now, many of you are aware that I'm here on a 5-year contract. And I've now been here 3 years. I was given the chocolate last week to prove it. And I want to ensure that our remaining time together is spent wisely and well. Therefore, at our church council meeting in January, we agreed some priorities that will determine where our resources and my energy will go in these next 2 years. They were included in our parish magazine, Rendezvous, which you can get from the back of church just over there if you haven't yet seen one. It's worth reading what we've written. They're also now on our website if you'd like to read them there. These are our priorities for mission and ministry, and they really will inform where I put my energy and where we put our resources. Now, last Sunday, I began a sermon series in which I'm trying to bring these priorities to your attention, to explore what they might mean for us, and hopefully to pique your interest enough for you to consider which priorities resonate most with you and how they fit your skills and character. In other words, how you might join in. Now, our aim is that our church should be a vibrant and fruitful faith community in which we support one another on our spiritual journey. And one that's not affected over much by the retirement of one priest and the arrival of another. Together we are so much more than one person. In many ways, last week's sermon was the most important of all of them. And that's because it was about the ethos of our church, the way it feels to attend and belong here. For the way we do anything is the way we do everything. So if we're kind and appreciative as a community, people who visit will sense that and stay. And if we're not, guess what? They will sense that too, and they will leave. Last week, I didn't draw attention to why I was preaching what I was preaching, because unlike last week, I wasn't speaking to your rational mind, but to your inner, intuitive self. That's why that sermon last week was a little bit weird. It was meant to be that way. But that sermon is worth listening to if you haven't listened to it so far, and it's worth listening to again if you did. It's now on our website, on the same page as our priorities for mission and ministry. And I recommend that you get on there and have a listen. This week, our priority, the particular priority I want to focus on, however, is spirituality. That's the next one. Because we wish to offer support for people on their spiritual journey. That's what we want to do. Unlike much of the world in which we are daily immersed, we do not pretend here that material reality is all that exists. What we can see and smell and hear and touch and taste. You'd be amazed at just how many people have begun to talk to me privately saying something like this. You probably think I'm balmy, but... and then describe some supernatural experience. A voice heard, a vision seen, a strange song, a person encountered, an invisible touch, a strange sense of well-being, all of which have no rational explanation. And they've never spoken to anyone about this because they assume that everyone else will just think they're bonkers. What they don't realize is that almost everyone else has had at some point a similar kind of experience, and they're keeping it secret for just the same reason. So this collusion with an effectively a materialistic society to pretend that materialism is all there is. And we fall into that too. But here, in this church, we acknowledge that spiritual reality intersects with physical reality, vibrating within it, and occasionally spilling out gloriously in inexplicable ways. At other times, we just sense it there in the deep heart of things, humming away in the background. As the Bible says in the letter to the Hebrews, the sun is the radiance of God's glory, the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. And that's what we feel deep within us. That's what we glimpse in and through everything around us. When did you first become aware of the mysterious presence of God? Long ago? Just recently? As a child? A young person in your middle age? Now you're old? Through the kindness of others? Through physical, mental, or emotional suffering? Comes that way to some. As an overwhelming presence, or as a presence as fleeting as a light breeze, or as an absence of something that we sense should be there. For all of us, the details are different. Known only to us and to God. But we're bound to one another in this. We've all felt it. That's why we're here. In a cold building, right? That's why we're here. And in this church community, we wish to offer support for people on their spiritual journey. Deep down, you know this. In our readings for today, Jesus himself urges us to actively seek God's kingdom and his rightness in our lives. And St. Paul describes it more like a woman giving birth, like groaning inwardly as something precious is brought to birth within us. Some of you know exactly what that's like. And Jesus reassures us that when we give ourselves to that, everything else falls into place. Today, as you listen to this, you are in a particular spiritual place, as well as a physical one. But you haven't always been here. You've come from somewhere, and you're going to somewhere. And we want to be as supportive as we can of you as you discover the next steps that are right for you. You might feel exhausted from having been stretched too much. You might need to rest a little. Or you might have stalled and become stuck. You may need a nudge to get going again. Or something else. Whatever the circumstances of your spiritual journey, we want to support you. And we aim to do this in different ways. It's true that each one of us actually is responsible for our own spiritual journey. I'm not responsible for your journey with God. You are. But I and others are here to help you with that. And we aim to do that in different ways as we can. Least risky are the sermons. John and Vicky and I try to preach faithfully in trying to unfold God's word and explore how it connects with the reality of our lives day by day, as we try to do. But as you listen, or maybe zone out, as the case may be, your thoughts are your own. No one will guess them or trouble you for them. You can take what's useful and ignore the rest. But there will always be the possibility that God may be trying to catch your attention through our imperfect words. So you need to be attentive and aware of that. Sermons. Then there are our Lent and Advent courses that we have every year. Smaller groups can be a little more challenging because we discuss and explore and your opinions are asked. But in these groups, how much you disclose is always up to you. We'll never push. However, it's true that you learn much more in small groups than in sermons because of our encounter with one another. We see how God enfolds someone else's life, and that helps us in seeing our own life more clearly. Trust grows, and with it, knowledge and faith. So, why not try our Lent groups this year? There's time. They're there to support you on your spiritual journey. There's details at the back of church, there's a sign-up sheet there as well. Have a look if you haven't yet seen it. Sermons, Lent and Advent groups. More challenging again is the group we call the Companions of Eanswith, some of whom are here, some of whom don't actually come to this church, but they're part of us too. One of the purposes of the Companions of Eanswith is to help us to learn to practice two of the ancient monastic disciplines that Eanswith and her nuns would have practiced. The first is called in Latin Lectio Divina, which means in English sacred reading. It's a way of reading the Bible together that invites us to hear how God might be speaking personally to us through the passage. Some of us share our thoughts with each other, but some of us very much keep our thoughts to ourselves. Nevertheless, it can feel a bit uncomfortable as God reveals to us layers of ourselves that we didn't realize were there. Are you brave enough to benefit from that, I wonder? The second ancient monastic discipline we're learning is called in Latin contemplatio, and in English it's translated silent prayer or meditation. To learn this takes patience and discipline, neither of which any of us had when we began. So we're having to learn those too. I wonder if you would like to learn them with us. If you're interested, why not take a leaflet about the Companions of Eanswith again at the back of church? There's a Monday morning group and a Monday evening group. And our notice sheet will always tell you which one is meeting this week. Join us if you dare. Sermons, Lent and Advent groups, Companions of Eanswith. Perhaps the most challenging support that we offer for your spiritual journey is private conversation. That's because with conversation, your heart might surprise your mind with what it knows it needs to disclose. Stuff might come spilling out. But let me just assure you that in conversation with me or Father John, or with any of those in our community who have been journeying a long time and they know a lot of wisdom, your conversation will be safe. We'll keep your confidences, unless you disclose something criminal, of course. We won't tell you off, and we won't ridicule you. We'll listen compassionately, with the utmost respect for your unique spiritual journey. We're likely to ask probing questions, that's what we do, But they will be for you to reflect on, not necessarily to give us answers to. That's what questions do. They arise things within us that we go away and reflect on. So please speak to us if you would like to arrange a conversation like that, in church or over coffee sometime. Sermons, Lent and Advent groups, the companions of Ainsworth, conversations with John or I or some of the other wise people within our community. But the other kind of private conversation that can support us on our spiritual journey are the ones that we can have just with each other as a church community. And yet the biggest barrier in having them is not, as you might imagine, that others here will not be able to cope with your particular experiences or questions. The biggest barrier is simply the illusion that no one else has spiritual experiences or questions, and so we'll look crazy if we admit to them or start talking about them. So, here's a challenge. Why not swap weird stories over coffee? You might find that the weirdness is not really so weird after all. Amen.